A set of chisels is the first purchase that Thomas treats himself to after having bought his rule. A complete set contains about a dozen, one for every eighth of an inch up to an inch wide, two or three larger than that, and one of a 16th, or half an eighth wide. And altogether they cost not very much, about 5 or 6 shillings. This is, however, without the handles, which the workman puts on for himself. Beech is the best wood for this purpose, and it should be clean and well seasoned. Having cut a piece about the size for a handle to one of the chisels, Thomas fixes it with the small end uppermost in the vise, and bores it as nearly as possible in the middle with a tool called a bit, which fits into the brace described before and makes a hole about the size for the middle part of the chisel end, neither the thickest nor the thinnest part. This hole is round. The chisel end is square. So Thomas next cuts away with a small chisel till he gets a hole square and tapering like the iron which is to fit into it. To do this exactly requires some nicety. If the hole be made too large, the handle will always be loose. If too small, the handle will split in driving up. After several trials, however, Thomas thinks it will fit and drives it carefully till the iron stock of the chisel comes close up to the wood. The handle is now on, but quite rough, too large and square-cornered. Thomas finds also, as all young handle makers do, that the handle is not quite straight with the blade of the chisel, though he bored the hole as straight as he could. And this was one reason why he left the wood rough till it was fixed on, that in planing the handle fair, he might take more off one side than another, as might be required to bring it right. The stock of the chisel shows the shape that the handle must be, so he planes it down very nearly to the iron at that end, letting it grow gradually thicker and thicker towards the other. He then cuts it off square at the right length, and paring off the sharp corners with a broad chisel, finishes it up smooth with the rasp, the file, and sandpaper. The handle we have described has 8 sides. They are sometimes all equal, but more usually too large, corresponding to the front and back of the chisel, 2 smaller, corresponding to its edges, and 4 smaller still, cutting off the corners where the others meet. This is the prettiest and most comfortable kind for use, we think. Round turned handles are sometimes made, but it is difficult to put them on exactly straight, and most workmen like the others best. The handles are made of sizes proportionate to the chisels. The largest has the largest handle, and a set accurately furnished with handles growing gradually smaller and smaller from the largest to the least looks very well indeed in a workman's tool chest. And so Thomas thinks when he looks over the nice new row of bright blades and smooth, clean handles when he had finished his job, and he determines to take care of them, that they may make a neat little drawer full in the chest, which he intends to make for himself before the end of his apprenticeship. If chisel handles are to be kept in good order, a hammer must never be used to hit them with, for it roughens and breaks the top of them so as to look very slovenly and feel very rough to the hand, causing a blister upon it in a short time. Rather than knock his chisel handle with the hammer, the tidy workman will go to the end of the shop to fetch his mallet. The mallet is a large wooden hammer formed of a solid block of beech, fixed firmly upon a handle like that of a hammer. The best way of fixing the handle is to make it larger at the top, slipping it through the head with a sort of dovetail joint, so that it cannot possibly fly off when hard blows are struck with it. Thomas makes his own mallet, as most workmen do, and thus pleases his own fancy better about the shape and make of it than anyone else could do for him. And now that he is beginning to have some tools of his own, Thomas wants a place to put them in, for nothing can be well and carefully kept without its proper place. The regular joiner's chest is a large and very strong box, fitted up cleverly with many drawers and slides and divisions to make places for the various tools that it must hold. All this Thomas intends to have very complete in time, and accordingly he looks over every chest that he can get sight of to judge which is the best and most convenient plan. But thinking it better not to begin so long a job for himself at present, he contents himself with making a good strong deal box, with hinges and a lock, large enough to hold the largest tools that he will have, and round the sides of this he provides places for his chisels, by tacking on pieces of leather to slip them in, where they will stand very comfortably and in regular order. His mallet he lays at the bottom of the box, where his other, heavier tools will also be placed when he gets them. That he may know his own tools whenever he sees them and not run the risk of losing them, Thomas stamps them all from the very first with the initials of his name, T.W., a two-letter stamp made of steel and so hard as to mark not only on hard wood but soft iron also, with one smart blow of the hammer upon it, may be had in London for a shilling and for most ironmongers in the country for 18 pence or thereabouts. So there is no excuse for a workman losing his tools for want of having his name upon them. Having thus made a beginning, Thomas goes on partly buying, partly making one tool after another. First, the most commonly useful and the least expensive. Then, the most useful, though they cost more, and he has to save up more of his earnings to buy them. And in making his collection, he often finds the advice of his friend Robert very valuable, for it takes an old and experienced hand to judge with certainty of the quality of tools. It often happens that the more expensive kinds are got up so as easily to deceive the young joiner, though they are made only to sell. But the old workman will shake his head at them and choose what he knows will prove themselves good to use. Having thus, as we think, set our young friend Thomas fairly afloat and seen him grow up from the inexperienced boy into the clever workman, still young indeed, but accurate and neat, and daily improving by the care which he takes to do everything as well as possible, we really cannot find room to follow him through every piece of work that he does, but must be preparing to take our leave of him.